Thank you, worship team. The music was just wonderful today. It has been wonderful. It's not over yet. Please pray with me. Almighty God, the source of life, take these human words of mine and somehow make them yours. Hide me behind the cross so that people may see you, not me. Hear you, not me. Breathe your spirit into us so that what we hear with our ears may take root in our minds. What you plant in our minds may grow in our hearts, and what you form in our hearts may bear fruit in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So often we get caught up in the season of Christmas and all its celebrations, and then the unexpected happens, throwing all of our plans somewhat off balance. This is what happened in a church that each year had a wonderful Christmas pageant. It was the highlight of the season for the church. The children practiced every week for over a month. Almost every child in the church was involved. The climax of the pageant was the grand entrance of the three wise men singing "We Three Kings." Three of the best boy singers from the junior choir were playing the part of the wise men. And this year it was going to be perfect. And then, the Saturday before the pageant, one of the wise men got the measles. The director was frantic. What should they do? She and her assistants conferred. And as they saw it, they had three choices. One option was they could cancel the whole event. You know, we often do this when our dreams don't go according to plan. If we can't do something exactly the way we think it should be done, we don't do it at all. The second option for the Christmas pageant was to have just the two boys come in singing "We Three Kings," right on cue. Perhaps no one would notice. After all, there was so much else going on that people might just ignore the missing king. Pretend nothing was wrong. Unfortunately, we do this too. We have a family celebration and we pretend that everyone gets along. Maybe no one will notice that someone drinks too much or a family member is missing because of death or divorce or incarceration. We pretend that no one has lost a job or is suffering from depression or has a terminal illness. We go on as if nothing is wrong, and we hope that no one else will notice. We just pretend there really are three kings and everything is just fine. Then there was the third option, the one they selected. When it came time for the end of the play, the two remaining boys majestically marched down the aisle singing, "We two kings of Orient are." When Dan and I were in seminary, everything was different. We had sold our house. All our decorations were in storage. We did not even have room in our tiny dorm apartment to put up a tree. Just because everything wasn't perfect, we did not cancel our Christmas and decide not to celebrate it. We also did not pretend everything was the same, that we were still in our house and we just had to put up a tree. Nor did we pretend that we were surrounded by our family and friends as we had been in years past. Instead, we celebrated a two-king Christmas. We accepted the way things were, and we worked with what we had. As a result, we experienced moments we never would have if we'd canceled celebrating Christmas or pretended everything was the same. We had some very special memories from that period in our lives. We worshiped on Christmas Eve at the National Cathedral. We shared meals with new friends on campus. And we took advantage of the many events that our living in Washington, D.C. had to offer, including all the fantastic lights and decorations. Of course, things were different. But when we play the tapes in our minds of those Christmases, they bring a smile to our faces and our hearts. If we had selected to cancel our celebration or pretend nothing had changed, we would have missed some unexpected special moments which created those special memories. Because we chose to have a Two King Christmas, we had experiences we would not have had otherwise. When it seems the whole world is singing joy to the world, there are those whose hearts are aching, those who unexpectedly will have a Two King Christmas. Most of us at one time or another in our lives have had a Two King Christmas. We have come into the holiday time with something missing. There's been a loss, an interruption, a crisis that has left us feeling incomplete. There's an empty space. Perhaps a dear loved one has passed away during the year. Perhaps we have lost the ability to drive a car. Maybe we've experienced a financial crisis. A close family or member or friend has moved away. Many situations can bring on a Two King Christmas. The thing is, we don't stop everything and just crawl in a hole and stay sad. We go on. We change the words to the song, just like the two young boys in the Christmas pageant. But how? How can we do this? What is it that lives in our souls that enables us to go on? I believe the answer lies in a single word: hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Recently, Dan and I were having dinner with two other couples, friends of ours, but none of whom have a faith. One of the women who was sitting across the table from me was lamenting about all the things that are going on in the world today. She said, "I'm so discouraged about all of it." Then she turned to me and she pointed her finger in my direction and said, "The difference is you are a Christian. You have hope. I am not, and so I do not." You see, the difference is, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do have hope. That Christ-based hope is what nurtures us, sustains us, and gives us the courage to face our own Two King Christmases, or whatever it is that life gives us. But here's an important point, though. We must not confuse hope with optimism. Henry Nouwen, the great Dutch theologian, says, "Optimism and hope are radically different attitudes. Optimism is the expectation that things, the weather, human relationship, the economy, the political situation, and so on, will get better. Hope is trust that God will fulfill God's promises to us in a way that leads us to true freedom. The optimist speaks about concrete changes in the future. The person of hope lives in the moment with a knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands." Nouwen continues, "All the great spiritual leaders in history were people of hope. Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Mary, Jesus, Martin Luther, George Whitefield, John Wesley, Martin Luther King Jr., Billy Graham, and Dorothy Day all lived with a promise in their hearts that guided them toward the future without the need to know exactly what it would look like. Hope is Mary's story. Mary, a young girl who lived a life that was unexpected. As a teenager, she had an unexpected visit from an angel announcing an unexpected pregnancy. She had an unexpected commitment from a man to whom she was engaged, but was not the father of her unborn child. Yet Mary is filled with hope. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who also is unexpectedly pregnant. Elizabeth greets Mary and the child within her. And Mary offers up a song known as the Magnificat. Oscar Romero, priest and martyr, drew a comparison between Mary's words and the poor and powerless people in his own community, those whom you would expect to have no hope. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis, called the Magnificat the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. It is the longest set of words spoken by a woman in the New Testament. Listen to Mary's words found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Sisters and brothers in Christ, these are not the words of a scared, pregnant, and poor young girl. They are the words of courageous hope by a young woman who believes in a God who offers unconditional and divine love, a God who cares about her and gives her hope. We live in a world where people don't know much about hope. We know about wishes. The whole Christmas period is full of wishes. I wish this, or I want that. It's very concrete. I want a toy, or a new car, or a new job. These are all very specific requests. But hope is precisely to say, "I don't know how God is going to fulfill God's promises, but I know that God will. And therefore, I can live in the present with the knowledge that God is with me. I can then know and trust in the deepest desires of my being that they'll be fulfilled. This way keeps the future very open. Hope has nothing to do with optimism. Many people think that hope is optimism, looking at the positive side of life. But Jesus doesn't speak like that at all. When Jesus talks about the future or his second coming, he describes war, people in anguish, nation rising against nation, and earthquakes. There is no place where Jesus says, "One day it will all be wonderful." He talks about enormous agony, but he says, You, my beloved ones, pray unceasingly that you will keep your heart focused on me. Stand with your head erect in the presence of the Son of Man. Don't get distracted by it all. Remain focused. Don't think that things will magically get better. Jesus is saying that the world is dark and will remain dark until he comes again and redeems all his people and all of creation. If you live with hope, you can live very much in the present because you can nurture the footsteps of God in your heart and in your life. You already have a sense of what is to come. And the whole living in Jesus Christ is saying that God is right with us right now so that we can wait for his coming. And this waiting is a waiting of hope. Because we wait with hope, we know that we are waiting for what is already here. For God is with us, Emmanuel. We have to nurture that. Here and now matters because God is a God of the present. And God is a God of the present because God is the God of eternity. So what should each of us do? We should expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected happens, we should have hope. Hope in an ever-present, loving, and living God. We should look for that love of God not just in the manger, but everywhere. In hospitality to others. In sharing what we have with others. In supporting others and in the small God moments that can be yours and mine this Christmas season. How might the world be different if we embrace this concept? How might our community be different and our church be changed? Hope is to open yourself up to let God's do God's work in you in ways that transcend your imagination. God uses us in unexpected ways, just like God did Mary. Each one of us is called according to the grace given to us. And in the end, that is the only thing that gives us joy or happiness or peace. And thanks be to God, it does not matter where you currently find yourself, for God is not bound by your limitations. Jesus looked at his disciples as he looks at us today and said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Jesus came as a human baby so that we might experience the unbelievable love of God. But this is only part of what the Christmas story is about. The best part is the gift of salvation. It is about seeing the light come into the world to deliver us from sin and darkness. It is about God coming to us and dwelling with us and rescuing us from certain death. The prophets tell us, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In just a few days, we will celebrate the birth of the one called Jesus, of the one whose name means God saves. His birth, his ministry, his very personhood is summed up in the words of one of his disciples. "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." This is the important part of the Christmas story, the part we often neglect as we wrap gifts and prepare our homes for Christmas. This is the part of the story beyond the manger, beyond the song of a young girl, the beauty of a newborn child, beyond the angels and shepherds. The most important part does not come to us as the Christmas story. It is the Easter story, the story of how beyond the manger lies a cross and the empty tomb. Let us each expect to have the very best Christmas we can with however many kings we have in our lives, for we are a blessed people, truly a people of hope. Let those who have ears to listen, the King of Glory has entered in. Let us pray. God of surprises, just as you came as a baby 2,000 years ago, you still come to us in unexpected ways. Help us recognize you in the face of strangers and loved ones. Help us welcome others as we would welcome you. Help us to find our hope in Jesus Christ. Amen.